Well, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. Thankful that we have a God that we can trust in. And that He's dependable and consistent. He's not a moody God. He doesn't change His stance. But He is a consistent, reliable God that truly we can depend upon. Inspired with the message for today, we'll title it this way, God Will Provide. You know, sometimes the Lord gives messages of challenge or reproof, or those messages that kind of dig and touch some areas in our lives that maybe are a little sensitive. But this morning, God, I believe, has a message of just encouragement for us. That He is willing to provide. And if you are here today and you're experiencing a heavy load, perhaps absence of fulfillment, maybe a mountain that is in front of you that is bigger than what you believe capable of getting across. I want you to be encouraged today that the Lord has promises that He has given to us, that He will provide and make provision for our need. Not always exactly like we think it ought to be, but God in His sovereign wisdom looks down upon us and He understands the needs that we have. And if we are faithful to Him, we can have assurance that God will provide. It's a definitive statement. Three words. God will provide. Paul said in the fourth chapter of Philippians in the 19th verse, he said, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His power," or according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I noticed that in that verse he didn't say, "But God shall supply all of your needs using the strength and the wisdom that He's just given you, and it'll come through you, and He'll just help you know how to put it together." That's not what it said. But it said that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory, and that it would come by Christ Jesus. And it gives me hope because I recognize, maybe every day, I should every day if I don't, I recognize all the time how needy I am. I recognize that I don't have the solutions to what I face. I recognize that I am faced with challenges in life where I feel a responsibility with something that is put before me and I am not able to handle it. And this gives me hope because it says that God will supply all of our needs. And this morning it's my desire that the Lord will help us to be able to internalize this promise and believe it and press on with courage. I'd like to read an account out of the book of 1 Kings this morning, the 17th chapter. We've read out of this passage before, and you have heard of it before, very possible from the time you were little children. It's a very popular children's story that has messages for both children and adults, and that is the story that follows when Elijah is being fed by the ravens, and the time came to an end where it was time for Elijah to move on. And it was during a time of famine. It was during a time when people were without. And the Lord told Elijah to go to Zarephath. And He told him, "I've commanded a widow there to sustain you." And so Elijah arose and he went to Zarephath, and this is where we find ourselves in the 10th verse, 1 Kings 17 and 10. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now remember, what was that was going on at this time? Drought. There wasn't an abundance of water. That was the problem. Wasn't it Ahab? He had told her, there's not going to be any water. It's going to be a time of drought. So the first thing he asks is, "Would you please go get me some water to drink?" And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, I wonder if she said this over her shoulder, because it said she was on her way, and then he called after her, "Hey, whoa, before you go any further, I know you're going to get me some water, but hey, could you also," and I just wonder what she was feeling. Oh, "could you also," there's something else. She's looking over her shoulder, you know, what was it? "Could you please also bring me some bread, a morsel of bread in thy hand?" And she said, "As the Lord liveth." In other words, just as sure as I'm standing here, I don't have a cake. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not telling you something that is outside of fact. This is not fiction. Just as sure as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but I have but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it. And what did it say? That we may eat it and live. Is that what it said? No. You just asked me for water, and then as I was going to get you water in a time of drought, you are now asking me for food. And I was just getting ready to make two sticks worth of cake. Doesn't need to be any bigger of a fire than that, because that's all I have. And we are going to eat it and die. And I'd like to pause for a moment at this verse and give special consideration to what the lady said. She said, "I have no cake." And I have a question today. I wonder what you don't have in your life that's creating a seemingly insurmountable obstacle in your life. He touched on the very things that she felt like she did not have. And he asked that of her. And they were things that she believed she was so much in need of that in a very short period of time, it was going to result in her death. And she said, "I don't have a cake." And it struck me, what do we have in our lives where that would be our response? I don't have it. I am without. Perhaps it's emptiness. The Lord asks for your fullness of joy, and you feel like all I have is emptiness and just a little tiny bit of spark. Or you're in distress this morning. Things that appear to be your undoing. And I know that all of us have some of these things because we're living life on this earth. And we face real live hardship in life. Things that affect us and leave us in dark places, leave us in places of distress where we feel like it's just leading us to a state that's even worse than I'm in now, perhaps. And you can fill in the blank for yourself, but broken or absent relationships. We face those in life. Uncomfortable places in life that seem like it's putting us right on the edge. We're hanging on by our fingernails. Personality traits about ourselves, personality weaknesses that perhaps we were born with that we don't like any better than anybody else does. And yet, we face ourselves every morning and look in the mirror and see ourselves looking back. Well, there he is again. Same guy I saw yesterday. Got the same faults, got the same weaknesses, and I gotta live with them, and it just seems like it's gonna be to my undoing. Perhaps it's a sin that does so easily beset you. Those weaknesses, those temptations in life that easily beset us, that we easily give into, and we get up and there it is again. Perhaps it's a physical challenge or a material challenge. There isn't anything that I believe this morning is excluded from this list, but that God can help us with. And these things are real. I am not here this morning to say that whatever list we could put up on the board of the things that create darkness and despair and emptiness in our lives, and then just take the eraser and say, well, don't worry about all those. They're not really that big of a deal. Y'all just be happy those aren't there and go forward. Because that's not reality. The reality of life is that these things are very real. Emptiness is real. The absence of joy is real. Physical ailments are real. Temptation's real. Failure is real. And it seems like when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, the thing that's looking back at me is real too. And I have to deal with him every day. And so I'm not here today to say that we're just going to brush all that away. We're just going to have a feel-good message where the message is, just don't worry about all of that. Just go forward with a smile. And minimize the reality of the darkness, the dark places that we have to walk through in life. Here, Elijah asked the woman for the very thing that she lacked. The very thing that she was on empty with, he said, well, I'd like the rest of it. And I don't know what the woman thought, so just give me some liberty for a minute. Maybe she thought, thank you very much for reminding me that I have a less than adequate supply of food to live. Thank you for reminding me that I was just preparing to go and fix the little bit that we have, which isn't enough to sustain us, and we're preparing to die, and now you come and pour salt on the wound by saying, could you please give me what you have? When I don't even have enough in the first place for myself. Well, I don't know that she thought this. But I know that we do sometimes. I know that that's how we think sometimes. Because we're human. And it feels like sometimes that it's trouble on top of trouble. When we think that we're at the bottom, we find out we're really not at the bottom anymore. There's still further to go. I remember one time at work, it felt like there couldn't be anything worse that could happen. Everything that could go wrong seemed like it was going wrong. And then something else happened. It was like, oh my, certainly not this. Can't get any worse than this. And then something else happened again. And I remember going out of a staff meeting one morning, and this guy was on the stairwell, and he kind of looked at me and grinned, and he said, just when you think it can't get any worse, he said, it slips into the next gear. I was like, you mean there's more gears? I thought this was a 5-speed, and we've already hit 6. Are you telling me there's 7 and 8 gears? You know, when is this going to stop? You ever feel that sometimes? You know, life can be that way. It's real. Life can feel like you're facing trouble upon trouble and you don't know where the end is. And now here Elijah is asking her for what she already thought that she didn't have. And sometimes we feel the same way. And we begin to move into trying to adjust to what we believe is inevitable darkness for the rest of our lives. That's what the enemy likes to tell us. She said she was getting ready to die, and her son. This was the situation with this. Well, life was in the balance for her. But Elijah shared some words with her from the Father that in the end proved to be her salvation, even though it was counterintuitive. Instead of saying, oh, you're about to die because you don't have enough food, let me help give you more food. What he asked was, give to me first. You don't have enough? Give what you do have to me first. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Before you make it for yourself, make me one first. And bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat, it said, many days. And I find that the longer that I live for the Lord, the more that I see this pattern take place. The Lord provides in ways that seems opposite of what we would consider as a possible solution. We get ourselves in trouble and we find ourselves heading towards a narrow road with darkness and the trees closing in, and mentally, and sometimes with a real pen and paper, we start thinking about all of the potential solutions that might possibly get us out of our hole. Well, if I do this, maybe that'll work. And if that doesn't work, I could do this. Well, this is starting to look a little dim. I don't know if that's going to work. And we put our list together. But so often, God comes along, and when He answers prayer, when He supplies our need, when He provides, often is nowhere on our list. And a lot of times it's not according to our timing either. Because we have our list and we have when it needs to be done by. This is only going to work if it happens by this time or this day. And this solution right here might give me a little more time, but if it doesn't happen yet, the window of opportunity has passed. And we have our lists, and we process in our minds how it can all work out, but that often is not how God works. I want this to be encouraging to you this morning, so that when your list runs dry and there's an X beside each one of them because none of them worked out, they probably weren't even on God's list in the first place. He may not have even had any of those solutions in the first place on His list. He's working differently because He's God. Because that's the way He can work. He is the one that could only say, cast your nets on the other side of the boat after the fishermen had fished all night long and they were tired and caught nothing. But only Jesus could say, cast on the other side and bring in more fish than they ever dreamed were possible. And I suspect today that when you have the opportunity to talk to those fishermen, They're going to say that they were really glad that they fished all night and caught nothing and that they were really tired. And that the Lord asked them to do something that didn't even seem to make sense. I think they will say, we're really glad that we were tired. We're really glad that we caught nothing that night. We're really glad we said, nevertheless, we'll do it anyway. It's the reason why that the Hebrew children could be cast into a fiery furnace and meet Jesus Christ and take a pleasant stroll in the middle of the fire. And I suspect when you meet them, they will say, we are really glad that we were thrown into the fire. I think it's why the thief on the cross, only because of Jesus Christ, could somebody in the midst of the agony of the cross experience unspeakable peace and say that he would never trade being crucified for anything. Makes sense? No, not in our minds, except for Jesus. It's the reason why only Stephen, when you meet Stephen, he will say, I'm so glad I was stoned. In the midst of being stoned and suffering great agony, that's when the heavens opened and he saw Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of the throne of the Father. It's why the multitudes will probably say that they were really glad that one day they went onto the hill and they're really glad that they had no food and they're really glad that they were hungry, because had they not been hungry and without food, they would not have been touched by the miracle of Jesus feeding their souls and their bodies. I suspect it's only because of Jesus that Mary and Martha, when you meet them someday, will say that they're glad that their brother died. That the Lord didn't show up when they asked Him to show up. Because only Jesus can be 4 days late and right on time. Only Jesus. It doesn't match with our timing. Doesn't match with our list of solutions. It doesn't match with how we would like things to look with our eyes, but because of Jesus, He does things way differently than we ever could imagine possible. Do you see the pattern in here? Untenable situations. The thief on the cross, Stephen being stoned, the fishermen out on the water, no fish. The three Hebrew children, they did the best they could to stand up and they threw them in the fire anyway. To their death, it seemed. Only until it wasn't. But what happened first? In all of these situations, the thing that happened first were the things that we ourselves as human beings would draw away from and say, I don't have that to give. I don't choose to be hungry. I don't choose to suffer. I don't choose to be without. Lord, there must be some other way. But because of Jesus, He takes those situations, and in the end, every single one of those people would say, I wouldn't have traded that for anything. I would not trade the difficulty that I went through because of the plan that Jesus had for my life that I never could see in the first place. Does it make it easy all the time? No. But is it the way that Jesus works? Yes. And oftentimes, we have to give first before that happens. The woman had to give the little bit that she felt like wasn't enough in the first place. She had to give to the Lord first. You're asking me, Lord, to give of you that which I don't feel like I have. I have just a little tiny bit that's not even enough. And the Lord says, well, I'll take that. But it takes that. It takes us giving God first, that He may take what we freely give Him, that He can then begin the multiplication process and meet the needs that we have. I'd like to read just a few verses out of the 37th chapter of Psalm. Psalms 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And from a broader standpoint, a broader sense, I'd like to think about this not just as evil people that are out to stick their literal foot in between our legs and trip us and do bad things to us, but also those things that seem to come against us in life, that are mountains to us, that are those things that cause us distress in life. And the psalmist said, "Fret not thyself because of these things," because people of God, people that put the Lord first, there's going to come an end to those things that are causing you distress. There will come a time they will soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. They have their moment, they have their time, they're present, but there's going to come a time where they're cut down and that situation will be no more. Now, listen to the order that is outlined in verses 3, 4, and 5. "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed." Did you hear what that said? Did it say, once you are fed in the land, then trust in the Lord and do good? No, the order is, trust in the Lord and do good, regardless of what your circumstances is. Do that first. Give to the Lord first. Trust Him. Do what you know is right first. And then when you do that, then the Lord will feed you. And sometimes He feeds us by the very difficult places we are in and gives us the very thing that we need. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." It didn't say, the Lord will give you the desires of thy heart, and once He does, then it'll make sense to delight yourself in the Lord. But that's human nature. That's what we tend to do. We're delighted, and we like to give ourselves to the Lord when the blessings are all coming in. But how about when they're not coming in yet? We don't have the desires of our heart. We feel empty. This scripture says, first, delight yourself in the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord first, and then He'll give you the desires of thy heart. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." It doesn't say the Lord's going to bring to pass all the things and fix all the trouble in your life, and once He does that, then go ahead and commit your way unto the Lord. See the order of these things? Give to the Lord first. The Lord will do His part when we do our part. But we have to do our part too, first. But you know what the really hard part is of this? It's the waiting. It's having to wait when you don't even have any solutions, when all your solutions have run out. And it seems like that things are just getting worse. And the Lord's saying, don't fret, trust me. And we're looking at it and we're thinking, but this doesn't look good. It looks like it's just getting worse. And the Lord's saying, trust me. The waiting is difficult. More difficult for some than others. I'm not a great waiter. And trusting when
you run out of solutions. You know, it's easier to trust when you can see some potential paths to the end. But when those run out, and we're still asked to trust and wait, and we see dark clouds, and we feel a mist around us that is not pleasant, it's hard. It's hard to wait. But that's the part that the Lord asks us to do. To wait. To trust Him. To trust Him with expectation. And let Him determine the duration of the waiting. And again, in all the examples that we refer to, in every case, were not all of them glad in the end that they obeyed the Lord? To a person, even though they had to go through things that were so opposite of what they felt like they needed and what they wanted. And yet, in the final analysis, every one of them is going to be so happy that they did what the Lord asked them to do. To those this morning that may be hurting, if you're here and you're hurting, if you're here and you are facing a struggle of life that just is bigger than you are, and yet it's been put in your lap, be encouraged this morning to wait on the Lord. Not idly wait, not wait and do nothing, but as we wait, delight yourself in the Lord. Give yourself to developing your relationship with Jesus Christ. Delight yourself in listening for His voice and then responding, being willingly obedient while you wait. And one of these days I think that we're going to see His will more clearly. We're going to understand His purpose and His plan more clearly. For now, we see through a glass darkly. We can't see it very clearly, but then face to face, then shall we know even as also we are known. There'll come a day when the Lord will then help us understand why. The fishermen then understood why they didn't catch anything that night. The three Hebrew children realized why they weren't delivered from being thrown in the furnace, because God wanted to do something for them while they were in the furnace. And the stories go on and on and on. Let's be encouraged to trust the Lord that He will provide. I'd like to conclude this morning in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And leave you with this. Isaiah 40 and 28 said, "Hast thou not known?" And there's a question mark. And when I read this, this is me, but I read this and I hear energy and hope. I don't hear somebody downcast. Hey, have you heard? This is the way I hear it. Hey, have you heard? Have you not known? That the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He doesn't faint. He's not weary. There's no searching of His understanding. And He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength from them. And even the youth over here, they're going to faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they'll walk and they'll not faint. And he goes right into the next chapter. And he says in the ninth verse, "I've chosen thee and has not cast thee away." Brothers and sisters this morning, God has chosen you. He's not cast you away. You're not alone. You're not in darkness without God being there with you. He has a plan for you if you'll put Him first. If you'll delight yourself in Him. I've chosen you. You specifically. your name, your birth date, your social security number. Yes, you. I'm pointing at you, the Lord's saying. I've chosen you. I know you. I've not cast you away. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee in the 13th verse, fear not. I'll help you. 17th verse, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there's none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, and we feel this in life, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys where you don't find fountains. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water where you don't typically find water in the wilderness. But I'll make it a pool of water. And the dry land where you think there's no water and there's no potential for water to be found, springs of water. Folks, God has promised that He will supply our needs. Always in the same way that we think they should be supplied? No, because we don't know what we need as well as what the Lord knows that we need. God has promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory, not by us, but by Christ Jesus. And so the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. And I believe this morning that is a message that the Lord wants us to internalize. If you're discouraged today, if it feels like everything is starting to spin out of control, or the emptiness and the void in your life is just getting bigger, the message is from the psalmist, be still. Be encouraged. Don't fret. Know that I am God. And they that wait upon the Lord, be of good courage and wait on the Lord. It said, be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, because He will provide. May the God of peace rest upon each one of you this morning, is my prayer. Amen.